to take one verse this morning, read that verse, let that kind of permeate through the message and speak to us. Is that like a game plan today? Does that sound good today? Let's read this one verse together and let's let that speak to our hearts as we explore this topic of opportunity to worship. The book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Bible reads this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Father, we thank you for the word. And God, today we ask you to let that verse just kind of flow through us right now. God, to get us ready for the word of God as we preach it, God, from various passages all over the Bible. And God, we pray today that the Spirit of God would lead us, that you would open up our hearts, God. And God, help us to receive, Lord, what you have for us. We love you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, you know, I love our church because I love our worship band. Does anybody appreciate our worship band at Life Community Church? I am always a fan of our worship band at Life Community Church. Now, it helps that I'm married to the worship leader, okay? So I should probably like the worship music. But, you know, I love it that we worship God with guitars and drums and singers and keyboards. And I just love it. I love it every time when we get together to praise the Lord in this way. And when I think of worship, you know, the Bible commands us to have worship, to have worship gatherings, to have times when we praise God, when we sing to God, and when we give to God. Now, worship, when we gather together for worship, worship in itself is an act of giving. So, for example, when we sing praises to God, we are giving our songs to God. We are taking something that's inside of us and giving it to the Lord in worship. Now, there's all kinds of different ways you worship God. Music is through one of those ways, but there's different ways we worship God. For example, if we take our skills, like let's say you can fix roofs, and you go and you help somebody that needs a roof repair, and you do that in the name of Jesus, you have worshiped God by giving your skills to help somebody. For example, other ways of doing this, when you testify about Jesus, you meet somebody and you say, "Can I tell you the change that Jesus has made in my life?" You are giving your story to God for God to use that. So worship is always this act of us giving something to God to honor God and to please God. Be that music, be that skill, be that our testimony, be that even our relationships, our time, whatever we do, it's the act of giving to worship God. Now, you can worship God through testimony, through song, but there's another way that we can worship God as well. And it's a way that the Bible teaches us that we are to worship God. And that is that we worship God, a way to worship God, is through financial giving. Now, the very first time, I remember the very first time I ever got paid to preach. I was 14 years old. I think it was like the fourth time that I ever spoke. And I spoke at this little country church somewhere in the central part of the state. And at that time, I had just been asked to speak at youth groups and stuff like that. And I spoke. And there was this old country preacher. And when I was walking out the door, he shook my hand. And I felt something in my hand. It was a wad of money in my hand. I was 14 years old. My grandfather drove me to preach, okay? And I get in the car with this wad of money. And I think to myself, am I supposed to have this? I mean, you know, did something weird happen? So I'm sitting there with this money in my pocket, just not saying anything about it. I'm just kind of, you know, I don't preach for money. This is weird. And I finally kind of tell my pap, I said, "Pap, they gave me money." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why?" "Because you spoke." And I said, but I don't do it for money. And he went on to teach me a lesson. And then in the process of that, I said, well, I'm just going to have to give it back. I'm going to have to just give all of it back. And my grandpa taught me something. He said, son, let me teach you about what tithing is, giving a 10% back to God. And then you keep the 90%. And I thought to myself, I get to keep 90%? He said, yes. I said, that sounds like a good deal. That sounds like a good deal. I was 14 years old, and that's what I thought. That sounds like a pretty good... You mean God just wants 10, and I get to keep 90? Sounds fair. And that day, I had this unbelievable learning lesson in the back of this blue Buick down the Western Kentucky Parkway. That God is honored through financial giving. And that's the way we worship God. Now, I know what you're thinking. I said I'd make that resolution to go back to church in 2016, and they're preaching on money. We're going to do this real calm. I'm going to act like I got to use the bathroom. I'm going to grab my coat. I'm going to slip out. You wait 5 minutes. Then you come. We'll get in the car. We'll peace out of here. The end. So I want to really help us understand how you're feeling right now. So Ben, crank it up on the sound. This is how you're feeling. I know it is. I know it is right now. This is how you're feeling. You ready? Run away! Run away! Run away! Amen. See, you're afraid to say amen because that's really how you're feeling, isn't it? Run away! Run away! Get out of here! They're talking about giving today. But here's what I know. I know that giving is a way to worship God. Biblically, it's a way to worship the Lord. It's the Bible. It's the way that we are to honor God. And the reality is, we have in our culture such a problem with materialism and greed. Now, would you say amen on that one today? A huge problem. We are so greedy as individuals, so materialistic. We think life makes us happy when we have more, more, and more. And some of you all right now are kind of in retail therapy mode after Christmas, right? You're getting the credit cards in, you're getting to see it, so you're kind of thinking about that already. And you know that materialistic things don't help us. But the reality is, with giving, it is the exact opposite of materialism. And we can worship God. This is what I want you to see, the big idea today. Are you ready? Giving, regardless of what you think about it, if a church is out to get your money, or they're this or that, or whatever, I want you today to forget all of that. And to think about giving in terms like this. Not as in paying some sort of dues or membership. Church is not a club, by the way. We don't have memberships and dues. That's not how we operate. That's not how we do things. But say this with me. Giving is an opportunity for me to worship. Now, about three of you said that with me, all right? So can we try that again? Are you ready? On the count of three. You ready? One, two, three. Come on. Giving is an opportunity for me to worship. Now, if we could begin to think of financial giving in terms like this, our whole mindset of how we give will completely make a difference. If we can begin to understand that it's not just paying dues or clubs or people wanting your money, but this is an act of worship, just like singing a song, just like using your skills to put a roof on. Financial giving is a way and a method that we worship God. There's so many questions hover around this. And I just want to unpack this today. I want five questions to help us understand that giving is an opportunity of worship. I call this the who, what, when, where, and why of giving. All right? You ready? Let's go through these quick today. All right? First question about giving as an opportunity to worship. You ready? You may ask this question. Well, who am I giving to? When I give a financial gift in the name of Jesus, who am I giving that to? Here's the answer. You ready? God. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 20, Jesus teaches about giving. And he says in verse 25, the second part of it, he says, give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Held up a coin. He asked the people, whose picture is this? They said, Caesar. And then he said, you give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and God's what is God's. He implied that they were to pay their taxes, but likewise they were also to give financially. That the act of giving. So Jesus himself helped us understand that when we financially give, it is an act or an offering unto the Lord. Now, many of us, most of us, I hope some of us, would be respectful of the IRS, right? That we, oh man, did he really say that? Yes. April's coming, right? But hopefully you have enough respect for the IRS not to mess with the IRS, right? Because they got your name, they got your number, they come looking for you. You know, me and my wife, we go to an accountant to make sure, especially with ministry, it's really strange how a minister's payroll and taxes are done, right, Stephen? It's really, right, Rachel? It's incredibly weird. So we go to an accountant to make sure that everything is done correctly with how we pay our taxes and things like that, because we don't want to mess with the IRS. Many of us get that. We get that. But when it comes to God, we don't get, no pun intended, the other side of the coin, which is to where we give to the Lord. And I'm always kind of baffled why we have more respect for the IRS than God. That's a humbling thought, isn't it? More respect for the IRS than God himself. But yet, Jesus teaches us to honor God through financial giving. And listen, can I just go ahead and make a blanket statement? God is better than the IRS. You better say amen on that one. I mean, come on. The Lord is better than the IRS. And we can worship God through the act of financial giving. It's an opportunity to worship. The second question is this, okay? If I'm to worship God through giving, what am I to give? What am I to give? Here's the answer. You ready? My tithes and offerings. My tithes and offerings. There's a story in the Old Testament about Abraham, and it's from Genesis chapter 14. It's in your notes, but Abraham had fought a battle, and he goes and meets this priest named Melchizedek, and the king of Salem, and the priest brings out bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. He blessed Abram, and he said, Abram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I give praise to God Most High who has handed you over your enemies to you, handed your enemies over to you. And look what Abraham did. Abraham gave a tenth of everything to the priest. So Abraham has this great victory in God, a great victory, meets a priest of God, and he gives a tenth of his flock to the priest, to the worship of God. Now, many people say, well, isn't tithing an Old Testament subject and not a New Testament subject? Answer to that is yes, it is. It's mentioned in the Old Testament more than in the New Testament. It's there. Well, then it's under the law. So when Jesus died, we were released from tithing. Stop right there for a second. Did you know, first off, that we obey God not because we have to, but because the Holy Spirit enables us to? Right? That's the first problem with that statement. But the second problem is this. When Abraham gave a tenth to the Lord, and so did Jacob, was that before or after the law was given to Moses? Before. Before. So you ready? The act of tithing and giving was present before the law of who? Moses. When you look at Jesus in the book of Hebrews, he is called a priest in the order of who? Melchizedek. Who did Abraham give the offerings to? The tithes. Melchizedek. Tithing has always been part of our worship, even before Moses, the giving of a tenth. Now, the problem is many of us don't know what genuine tithing is. Let me help you with that. The word tithe means the first tenth. The first tenth is what it means, the first tenth. So it's whatever's brought in, it's the first tenth of that. And it's a percentage. Some people would say, well, I can't give the same tithe as you can. Sure you can. 10% is 10% of whatever you make. That's it. See, God's not looking for a dollar sign. He's looking for obedience. Did you know that? Obedience. Not a dollar sign. Obedience is what God's looking for. It's a percentage. And all of us will give that amount. Now, the tenth should be the first tenth. Not the leftovers. Not the what's left. But the first tenth. The first thing that happens. And I have people ask me this question. Kenny, should I tithe my gross or my net? And this is what I say. Which one do you want God to bless, your gross or your net? Which one? Which one do you want God to bless, your gross or your net? Understand that when we give our tenth, whatever it is God's provided you with, whatever it is, you give your tenth. I give my tenth. My family participates and believes in tithing. We give our tenth. Another question. When am I to give? When am I to give? You ready? Weekly. Weekly. The Apostle Paul writes this. On the first day of the week, each of you is to set something aside and save in keeping with how he prospers. Now, Paul was talking to a church about a collection they were taking up. And in order to make sure that they had the collection there, they were to set aside something at the beginning of each week to make sure they had something to give. I think that principle is an admirable principle that we should apply today, that we should give weekly to God. Now, I think there are some great benefits in that when we give weekly. I think today's what? Is today the end of the week or the beginning of the week, technically? The beginning of the week, right? Now, does it feel like the end of the week? Yes, because why? Monday's tomorrow, right? Sorry, kids. Go back to school, right? Monday's tomorrow. But today's technically the first day of the week. And I think there's something about laying your offering aside on the very first day of the week. Because what happens is that begins to put everything else, what? In its place. When you give your tenth to begin with, and you give your tenth to God, you know what happens? You're saying that's the first spot that this belongs. But God does something really amazing with tithing. When you begin to say, this is the first place, you know what else happens? You now find out what comes in second place, and third place, and fourth place, and fifth place. Maybe perhaps one of the reasons God gives us tithing is because it makes us get on a budget. You ever thought about that? When you begin to actually look where your money's going, and by the way, the discipleship team and I have been talking, we're looking at, in the next few months, launching out Dave Ramsey classes out of our church. Would you like that? To help us? To help us? Some saying no, but we're going to. All right. There you go. Yeah, my wife's going to make me go now, right? But it helps us to understand the direction of where we're going. When you lay the first groundwork of that, it makes 2, 3, and 4 going ahead. Now, and listen, there's something about giving weekly that also begins to do wonderful things. You're worshiping God. Never forget that. The act of giving is a financial worship. So, or it's worshiping God through finances. So, when we pass the offering plate, hear me on this. We're not trying to pay the bills. We're not trying to keep the lights on. It's not what we're doing. We're not trying to meet budget. You know what we're trying to do? Worship God. It's an opportunity to worship. That's why we give. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Kenny, I get paid bi-weekly. Do I get to miss out on that week? Well, listen, we're not legalists, okay? We're not legalists. Look what Paul said, how he prospers. You give when it comes in, right? You give when it comes in. I think God understands that. The Lord's not a legalist. He's not a hard man. He understands that. And likewise, what if I give online? Because we have online giving through our church. What if we do reoccurring drafts? What about that? You know what? I think that's great. You're still obeying God, and you are honoring God through that. And I think it's wonderful when you set up for reoccurring, because you're making a statement that if the light company gets it, if the water company gets it, I'm giving a portion of it. I think that's wonderful. I think that's the heart of it. So we give weekly. By giving weekly, we have an opportunity to worship weekly. Next question. Well, where do I give? Where do I give? Let's look at it. Where I worship. Now, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, maybe one of the strongest teachings of tithing in the Bible, it says this: bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Malachi says that the tithe was to be brought into the temple. Now, we don't have a temple anymore. When Jesus Christ died, he ripped the curtain in the temple. We don't need a temple anymore. The Bible says now we are temples. We are temples of the living God. The Spirit lives inside of us. We don't need a temple anymore, but we do need a church. And a church is the gathering of us together to celebrate God, to be on mission for God, and to serve God. That's what this is for us to be together as a church. Likewise, I think the idea of giving your tithe to your church is what it should be. Now, I know that many people will love to give their tithe to another ministry. Well, I like what the Christian radio is doing, so I'm going to give my tithe to the Christian radio. Or I like what this group over here is doing, so I'm going to give my tithe to that group. Let me help you with that for a second. I don't think your tithe should go to outside ministries. I don't think so. I think your tithe should go to the ministry of where you worship at. Don't forget, this is a ministry. This is a ministry, right? This is a ministry. And if we are committed and covenant together as a church, where should our priority of our tithe go to? Right here. Right here is where. Well, Kenny, what if I still want to give to other groups? You ready? This is where we get into the difference between what a tithe is, and help me if you know, and what an offering is. There you go. The tithe is the first tenth. The offering is what? Anything that's above the tithe. Well, Kenny, I don't want to give an offering. You don't have to. But you'll be blessed if you do. You'll be blessed if you do. The giving of tithes and offerings, God will bless you. And by the way, there's only one spot in the entire Bible that God allows you to test him. Did you know that? And that's in the area of giving. You are strictly forbidden to test God under any circumstance except for the area of giving. It's the only spot in the Bible that you're allowed to test God in the area of giving. And what does he say? He'll open up the floodgates. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rolling around in a Bentley. You know? But here's what I do know. You can never outgive God. And he'll always take care of you. I'm not going to say you're going to have checks and miracle, magic, holy water coming all over the place like these wacko TV preachers preach about. But I am saying this, is that God will take care of you. You can never outgive God, ever. Understand that we give where we worship. So where do you worship God at? That's where you give your tithes at. That's where they come into. Final question. Why should I give? Well, if you haven't kind of already got that already, that we give to honor God, to worship God, let me just give you one more example, can I? Why should I give? You ready? Giving makes me happy. Look what Jesus said in the book of Acts. It's not recorded in the Gospels, but we're told these words. Keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more, you know this word, you know this, you ever heard this before? Say it with me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that. When you give, you're blessed. And it's a lot better to give than to receive. You know, you don't have to teach this to people. My little girl, Gracie, loves to give. She'll make presents and art. And sometimes the art's really weird to decipher what it is. But she makes it because she loves us. And I think that's so wonderful. We're not setting over my little girl saying, you better draw me the best unicorn princess in the world, or you're disowned from the family. You know what I mean? And neither does God do that to you. God is saying, I love you. I care for you, and we worship him. And there's something about giving that makes us happy. There really is. Now, let me tell you, the opposite of that is when we don't give. And you know what happens when we don't give? We become miserable, grumpy, codgers, and selfish, and we hurt people. What war is not fought over greed? What injustice is not done because of greed? The Bible tells us, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the love of money is what? The root of all evil. But giving is the opposite. Giving is going forward. So we give and we worship God in this way. Now, I want you to think for a second. What if today, let's go back to this idea of worship, because that's what I want you to think about today. Giving is worship. Let's say next Sunday, I made an executive call. And I said, you know, we're kind of done with music around here. We're done with it. First off, I don't think that would fly very well in my house, okay? But let's say we're done with music. Get rid of the drums. Get rid of the bass. Get rid of the electric. Get rid of the keyboard. Get rid of the singers. We're not even going to have a cappella. We're going to come in here, and I'm going to yell at you for an hour. Now, should you be upset if I did that for the long haul? And I said, we're just going to cut all the music out, teaching. You should be. You should be. Because biblically, we are called to do what? Worship God with music, right? A balanced church has worship. Worship, evangelism, discipleship, ministry, fellowship. You've got to have those five for it to be a functioning church. Those five. If you were to remove worship, the music element, the music portion of a church, God would not bless that. He would not bless it. You have to have a music ministry in the church. It is necessary biblically. You have to have it. So you know, people would rightfully throw a fit if we tried to remove worship, the music, worshiping God through music from our church. We should throw a fit if that happened. We need the worship of God. But for many of us, if we remove the offering plate, not a peep would be said. Not a word would be said. But here's what I'm trying to teach you today. When we sing to God, and when we pass the offering plate, hear me, both are acts of worship. Both are acts of love to God. Now, this church is a little different in a lot of ways. I'm going to do something today that I've never done in a church. We've always asked people to have faith in giving. To have faith in giving. And I thought that it would be good for our church to have faith in giving as well. So I called the stewardship team. I called Jerry Williams. Where's Jerry at? He's out there in the hall. I said, Jerry, I got a crazy idea. He said, what would I expect? I said, I feel like God's laying something in my heart, Jerry. He said, okay. We talked about it. Emailed the stewardship team. Got replies back. We believe that God will bless giving. So much so that what I'm getting ready to say, we've never done in the history of this church before. But if I believe God will bless you if you tithe, I better put, no pun intended, my money where my mouth is. So here's what we're going to do. I'm challenging you to make a commitment to give your tithe for 3 months. 3 months. And if you feel that God has not blessed you at the end of those 3 months, okay, you can come to our stewardship team in complete anonymity, and you can say, I gave, but I don't feel like God's blessing me, and we'll give you every dime of your money back. Every dime of it for 3 months. Did you just give a money back guarantee at church? Sure. 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 Why? I'm not talking about Bentleys and Rolexes and junk like that flying, none of that stuff. I'm talking about being blessed by God, taken care of. Here's the reason why we're doing that. Are you ready? Because we believe the Bible. We believe it. And if we're going to ask you to tithe saying that God will bless you, we better believe too that God will bless you. We better believe it too. So I'm asking you today, we're going to put some faith in God Amen, stewardship team. They're going to put some faith in God. And we're asking you to put faith in God. To put faith in God. You know, the thing about giving is that when we give, we're preaching a tremendous message. That God so loved us so much that He did what? He gave His one and only Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. See, the whole act of giving is just saying thank you for what God's done for us. It's not paying dues or membership fees or anything like that. It's the act of saying thank you to the Lord. Today, if you've never received the great gift of salvation, God can save you. It's already paid for when He died on the cross and shed His blood. It's simply opening up your heart and saying, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. I'm choosing to follow Christ as my Lord and Savior. Maybe today you need to give your heart to Jesus and be saved. Because listen, you can never outgive God because He gave His only Son. And today, if you're not a Christian, this message didn't make a lot of sense to you. And that's okay. But here's what you've got to know. You've got to know this, that if you are not a Christian, God has already given so much to you. You just need to receive. And if you are a Christian, I pray that that little phrase will echo through your life. That giving is an opportunity for me to worship God. Let's make a commitment to financially give. Let's make a commitment to serve. Let's make that commitment with our families. Let's make a commitment to ask Christ into our heart. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for Jesus. And God, today, Lord, giving is so important to talk about, God, because our world is so greedy. Our world is so full of materialism. But God, we ask You, Father, to humble our hearts, to help us, Father, today, to worship You with everything. Everything we have. And God, and I pray today that, Lord, if someone doesn't know Christ, that they would be saved today and would trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. That they would come down that aisle and, Lord, profess their faith in Christ or inquire of how to be saved. And Lord, today I pray that if there's a Christian who is struggling with the idea of giving, God, that You would open up their heart to giving and bless them, God, to know that giving makes us happy. Giving is honor to You and worship to You. So Jesus, thank You for all that You do. We pray this in Your name. Amen. As we sing today, would you stand as we worship God today?